Hi there. We're so glad you found the Fabric Podcast. Before you start listening, we wanted to let you know that this is one of our earlier episodes where our show was called The Check-In. On these episodes, we talk about the company, giving you insight into who we are and what we do. But in 2019, we realized we really want to focus more on company culture. So we refocused and renamed the podcast. So just a heads up that this earlier episode is still us, the team from The Receptionist, but just with a different show name and a slightly different focus. Thanks for listening. Today on The Check-In, we are joined once again by Michael Ashford, Director of Marketing for The Receptionist. And we are talking all about, you know, your receptionist needs a break when, and all of the things that your receptionist is probably responsible for, the way that their work can be organized and how you organize your front desk experience for them, the soft skills that someone might want their receptionist to have, and ultimately, what happens if your front desk person has too many tasks or just isn't quite sure how to prioritize them. We don't want this to happen to you. So we're going to share what happens when you use The Receptionist, the visitor management software, in conjunction with your receptionist, the actual person. We think we're awesome, but we don't want you just to take our word for it. So we also share about some reviews and hear from real customers how happy they are about how we're assisting them. And we wrap up today's episode with a David Letterman-style top 10 list that you won't want to miss. Stick around. All right. We are back with Michael Ashford. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Sarah. Good to be back with you.
Awesome. Okay. So today we are talking all about not just your receptionist, but when your receptionist needs a break. How do you know that? So before we get into what might be going on with your receptionist, let's talk about some of the roles and responsibilities and how you might even structure your front desk to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that I don't know how many people take a look at or focus on the role of the receptionist and everything that gets dumped on that role at a lot of different companies. The companies that I've worked for in the past, it's definitely been a catch-all kind of position.
Yeah.
You know, the person at the front desk. They're often sitting at the desk. I think people just have a tendency to walk by and see them sitting there and think, oh, well, they could have something to do. Let's throw this task at them.
They don't have enough.
Right. How hard could it be, right? Actually, that is not the case. So we've kind of come up with 8 different ways that, you know, you can structure your front office or you can structure that role of the receptionist. And, you know, without going into too much detail here, I'll just kind of list some of these off. So one is the visitor-focused receptionist, somebody who you get a lot of traffic into your office and they're just, their sole focus is getting those people in the door and where they need to be, right? Then we have the office manager. They are in charge of scheduling conference rooms and the physical maintenance of the building and filing systems and, gosh, making sure the copier works right. So they're kind of an IT person and a maintenance crew and all that good stuff.
Yeah, a lot of important tasks.
Yeah, totally. Stuff that absolutely needs to be done. HR-focused receptionist. I've seen it quite frequently where the front office staff or the receptionist at the front desk may be in charge of filling out stuff like payroll.
Right.
Even handling super confidential information, but still that task has been placed on them or enrolling new hires in employee benefit programs, things like that.
Yeah, because depending on the size of your business and your overall office and staff, there might not be a dedicated HR person. And so it doesn't necessarily make sense that your CEO is doing that. And so that might be the kind of thing that does fall to your receptionist. So someone might be sitting here listening, well, my receptionist would never do payroll, but some do.
Especially in the startup world,
yeah,
where you simply can't hire an HR person. Your CEO usually is the HR person,
yeah,
and the fire and everything else. But you don't necessarily want the creator, the CEO, to be digging in the weeds of payroll.
Right.
So yeah, often the front desk staff gets tasked with that.
Definitely.
A couple others here, just the executive assistant. So really, you know, as a company grows, there often is a need at the CEO or the executive level just for somebody to manage the busy schedule that those folks have. Customer service, I have seen it where the front desk staff or the receptionist do take customer service calls, whether in person or over the phone or via email. They're just kind of a backup option for the support staff. A lot of receptionists are charged with handling the company's social media.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing that more and more. So they get folded into the marketing world and that side of things. There's often, and I don't know how PC it is, but there's often the morale booster is often kind of referred to as the office mom. And again, not necessarily PC, but you will, I mean, in a lot of offices.
I was like, morale booster? That's PC. Yeah. Oh, office mom.
Yeah.
I'm a mom. It's okay.
Yeah.
We handle a lot of things. We juggle tasks. We tend to take care of people.
Exactly.
I get it.
And I think that's kind of what the morale booster, quote unquote, is kind of lumped into, is, you know, making sure that the staff is happy, that birthday cards get sent out and signed, that going away parties get planned, those types of things. And then the last one is you just simply don't have a receptionist. You're absent. And so how do you welcome guests into your office that way? We happen to know a way, right?
Right. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Don't want to give it all away yet, but there is something you can do.
Hint, hint.
And, you know, you said these are the different ways that you can sort of organize your front desk. But, I mean, it really becomes clear that one receptionist could be tackling all of these roles and pieces from each of these sort of ways that you could structure things. So
yeah.
Receptionists are doing a lot, potentially.
They're a lot. They're often kind of a cog, the central hub of an organization, because if you've got a receptionist or a front desk staff member taking care of all of this stuff, everyone in the company knows them. Mm-hmm. Everyone in the company goes to them because they probably have an answer or know where to find it. Yeah. I mean, it can become an incredibly burdensome role if things get out of hand and you start dropping all of this stuff on their shoulders.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it can be easy to think, well, we just need someone. We just need someone at the front desk. You know, we need someone to answer the phones and to greet the people. And I think you really have to be thoughtful about the person that you hire for that role, because they do need to be organized. They need to be diligent. They need to be able to juggle, wear many hats. And they also need to have certain soft skills as part of that role, which we've got a great blog post on that, and we will link to it. But, you know, skills like empathy, friendliness, being firm with people when needed. Like you said, being able to build and maintain those relationships. I mean, there's all these skills that you might not think at first, like, oh, my receptionist needs to have. They need to understand how to answer phones, right? They need to be able to maybe log certain things, but you don't necessarily think of the soft skills. So tell us your perspective on that.
Yeah, everything that you just mentioned, think about doing all of that or everything that we just talked about and add to it the fact that they're probably getting constantly interrupted.
Right.
Like, So whether it's from like a staff member or a constant stream of visitors coming in the door or the phone ringing off the hook, like, or an email popped up that says urgent or what have you, like, or a contractor comes in, somebody's got a food delivery, you know, FedEx is here, just all of that. I think the number one probably soft skill that we're talking about there is just the ability to remain calm when the situation gets chaotic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you're somebody with a high stress level or high anxiety and all of those inputs like overwhelm you, you're not gonna make it, right?
Right. Yeah. And I think that for people looking to hire someone for their front desk, it's useful to ask them about those sorts of things. Like, how do you do when there's lots going on? How do you juggle different tasks? Because, you know, in that interview situation, I think it's easy to kind of get it together and talk about, you know, well, I can multitask really well. And, but you do have to really dig into some of those soft skills to make sure that this is going to be the right fit, especially if you do have a very busy front desk, or you have a front desk that is going to require that person to juggle a lot of different tasks and responsibilities.
For sure. And one thing that you mentioned earlier was empathy, but also being firm and being able to set boundaries. I mean, I think somebody who can balance those two things and say, look, I understand that you really need this right now, or I understand that you've got a question, I actually have to finish this part over here before we go any further. So if you've got a visitor who is coming in and really wants to speak to somebody, you know, being able to set the boundaries there when you're on a support call with a customer, who do you weigh more heavily in those instances? It's really an amazing skill when you sit down and think about the ability to represent the company well to a bunch of different people whether in person, over the phone, via email, all that good stuff, and be able to handle all of those tasks and point people in the right direction efficiently. That's the other part of it. You don't want people sitting in your lobby waiting to have their question answered for 15 minutes while you answer a phone call.
Yeah, definitely. So we're obviously talking about whoever's at your front desk. They potentially have a lot of tasks that they need to prioritize. So what might happen if someone just does not do that well? You've hired someone, you think they'll be good, but they're struggling. What happens to the front desk and the experience of a visitor?
I think for a visitor, it becomes a little bit of, well, either I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
and for some businesses, you know, you think of a law office, you've got a potential client walking in and your receptionist can't get away from the phone to get them to speak to a lawyer or somebody that they're there to meet with on a potential case. You lose business quite simply. And then that visitor says, you know, to the next friend who is like, I need to hire a lawyer. Oh, don't go here. They couldn't help me.
Yeah. They say that, you know, what is it? There's some stat about people, you know, talk about their bad experiences so much more than their good experiences.
Yeah.
And that sets the tone for it.
It can have this waterfall effect or this ripple effect.
And especially with social media and how quick people are to, you know, just jump to tell the world about these things. And sometimes those take off. So yeah, it's very, you know, your visitor's experience is very important.
Think about the DMV.
Yeah, I don't want to.
Think about the DMV. Do like a Twitter search for hashtag DMV.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Just see what the visitor or the check-in experience is like there and what people are saying. Do you want people saying that about your company? I don't.
Probably not. And I'm sure the DMV does not care because they're like, listen, we're the DMV. What are you going to do? We're the only thing offering this.
Yep.
Show up and deal with it.
You got to be here.
I wonder if they do that on purpose. Businesses, they're just messing with people. Like, we are your only choice and we're going to make it as horrible as possible.
There
they
are,
should use the receptionist.
Hey, you're preaching.
Oh my goodness, I know, but that was just a light bulb moment. Like, how much better would it be? Okay, we digress. So anyway, so back to the actual person of the receptionist. Yeah. So they're struggling to juggle. They're not prioritizing. Obviously not a great experience for the people coming in the door. What about for the company? So obviously, like we said, losing business. What else, how else might that affect the company?
Distractions for the entire company, really. I mean, if you're talking about a role like the receptionist who, as I mentioned earlier, is that central hub of so many things, you either delay decisions getting made or delay things happening when you have, you know, somebody who can't prioritize, who can't get away from a particular task to do the rest of their job. And, you know, back to the visitor piece, you may have a visitor just decide, well, the receptionist can't help me, so I'm just going to walk in and find help from somebody else.
Yeah.
And so you talk about employee distractions and seeing some random person walk through the hallway or walk through the office and they have no idea who they're there. And so they're asking everyone, hey, I'm here to meet John or I'm here to meet Mary. Do you know where they're at?
Right.
And you just start again this waterfall effect of disruption throughout the office.
Yeah, definitely. And then and for the person, so the person who is the actual receptionist, I mean, that's not enjoyable for them either. If they, you know, feel like they're struggling or they're not prioritizing well, or, you know, they're on a call and they see someone waiting and then just walk past them, to, you know, to go find someone, that's got to be really frustrating for the person attempting to do their job well.
Yeah, if they care about their job.
Hopefully they do.
For sure. Yeah, I'm making an assumption there, but that's got to be overwhelming. It's got to be disheartening. I mean, if you've ever had a job like that, and I think a lot of us have, where you don't feel like you were either properly trained or given the right tools to do your job or thrown too much too soon or all at once, like that's disheartening. And I think a vast majority of people do want to do well at their jobs.
Right, like, absolutely. And I think we should clarify that. You know, we're not saying that your receptionists are not good and, you know, they don't want to do well. But as we've sort of illustrated, there are these situations where they are tasked with so many things. And when you hire them, you may not even realize how much has fallen to the receptionist and their job. And so, yeah, they may want to do really well and they're learning, or there's just, you know, in some ways too much. So we kind of teased this a little bit, but there's a really great software that can help people Tell us about it. Listeners might already know, but what is it?
Oh man, there's this product called the Receptionist.
Wait, it's called the Receptionist?
Yeah, man, imagine that. I wonder why we did that. No, I mean, if you think about the ways that a visitor management system like the Receptionist for iPad and the ways that it can offload the parts of the front desk experience that don't necessarily make up the most crucial or critical parts of that person's job. Mm-hmm. If you think about taking those processes or those parts off of that person's plate and allow them to breathe a little bit, yeah. They can focus on how they can improve the visitor experience. And the visitor can focus on simply getting to the person that they're there to see or for the reason that they're there in a more efficient way, in a quicker way. And I'm thinking, for instance, a new hire at a software company, for mm-hmm. instance. They walk in the door, they're 10 minutes early because, you know, to be early is to be on time, especially when you're trying to get a job. And yes. They walk up to the front desk if someone's there at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of software companies these days don't even have someone at the front desk because of an open workspace right. environment. You walk in, you're already nervous, you don't really know what to do, and you maybe walk up to the front desk and let's say there is somebody there, but they're frantically typing up an email while also on the phone with, you know, somebody else. And you get one of these kind of, hold on, just mm-hmm. wait with just a moment, I'll be right with you. Or that person interrupts what they're doing, they stop typing, they say, could you please hold for a minute? Inconveniencing the mm-hmm. other person that they're already dealing with. So it's just these distractions, right. these disruptions of time that a visitor management system can alleviate completely. Mm-hmm. You think about, I'm walking in, I'm here for an interview. I see a check-in screen. It has a button that says interview, and you type in your information and you hit check-in. And 3 minutes later, here comes the hiring manager out to see you because they know who you are. They know that you're there. I mean, it's just, that's very simplified, right. Very simplified way that obviously we do it. But then in that instance, as you're checking in, perhaps the receptionist gets off that phone call and says, can I grab you a bottle of water?
Right.
Or a cup of coffee. Because at that point, especially in the really highly competitive world of software engineers, for instance, it's really competitive to hire a software engineer or a yeah. developer. So your company has to put its absolute best foot forward because that hiring or that candidate is probably being recruited by a couple other people too.
So true.
You're not the only one. Being able to focus on the human experience while removing the parts that don't necessarily need to be a human experience.
Right.
Assigning my name in a paper logbook, for instance, I don't need another human there. But right. getting a bottle of water, that would be nice to be handed yeah. to me and say, you know, can I get you anything else? Can I show you where the bathroom is? I'm rambling, I know, but.
No, you're not. Well, I think it's good to paint that picture of how the receptionist, the person, and the receptionist, yeah. the software, work together. Because I think we've sort of said this, but it's easy to assume, well, I have a person there. I don't need a software. And yet, you might want that because it streamlines, it simplifies, it makes it so that the receptionist, the person, can do their job more effectively and can focus on the pieces that really you do need that person to manage and take care of.
Absolutely. To put it bluntly, we're not advocating that you get rid of your receptionist, the right. person, for a piece of software. I think the two work beautifully together. And, you know, we've got a ton of customers that prove this out to be exactly that case. And
yeah.
it's all about, again, going back to what I think we said kind of in the middle part of our conversation here, Sarah, is that people want to do a good job. Mm-hmm. Give them the ability to shine in the things that they do best.
Yeah.
And checking in a visitor, there's only so many ways you can do that.
Right, right. We'll talk about this in another episode, but you know, if you have different layers where different, you know, things that need to be signed, security documents, you know, it's just
yeah.
those things can be taken care of, logged, tracked, you know, stored securely much more easily than having a person have to go through that with them. So it makes the pieces of the person's job so much easier and totally. Hopefully helps that person from becoming overwhelmed. And again, we're making the assumption that your employee wants to do well and yeah. you know, is mostly trained and prepared, right? So the receptionist, the software can really help with that. Yep. So before we get to kind of our final piece of today's episode, anything else you want to share with us? Anything we missed about our receptionists and the receptionist?
Yeah, I think it's what we've just been saying the whole time is people want to do well. They want to do well in their job, yeah, and give them the tools to do exactly that and set your company, your greater company, up for success as well. One of the great things about the receptionist for iPad, the software, is that when a visitor checks in, it sends an email or text message or Slack notification to the person that they're there to meet. And let's say that that person is stuck in a meeting. Mm-hmm. They can actually Slack them a message back or text them a message back through our two-way communication saying, hey, I'm stuck in this meeting. It's going to be about, looking like it's going to be about another 5 minutes. Why don't you go, you know, grab some coffee or go into the break room, flip on the TV. I'll be there in 5 to 7 minutes. That just reflects so much better. Let's say that's a prospective client,
yeah,
that's walked through the door. That just sets, you look tech savvy,
right,
what you want to do. It gives it that personalization that I think a lot of people don't think that technology can do, mm-hmm, but that's a big point. And you create an efficiency in that process that makes it so much better for everyone involved.
Yeah. And I love that. Yeah. It allows you to connect differently with the people that you're actually coming to see. You gave an example in another episode that I just thought was so great. You know, if you, as the person from the company, have stepped out because your appointment is in, you know, 10, 15 minutes,
yeah,
and you're getting your coffee, and your person checks in, you get that notification.
Yeah.
Otherwise, without this system, you have no idea that they're there. They're now waiting. Granted, they're early, but still, when you're early, it's kind of annoying to wait.
Yeah.
Even though you should be early, and you know, you brought that on yourself. But you know, that person now with your system can be like, oh, you know what? I'm just down the street. I'm grabbing a coffee. Can I get you one? You know, yeah. So it's really, it keeps them in the loop. It, you know, can make a much better experience. So I loved that example of, you know, letting someone know that you're there early. And if someone's grabbing a coffee, I mean, if they're going to offer me one, that's fantastic. So
heck yeah. Give me that vanilla latte, please.
Exactly. I'd like a chai tea, please. I mean, how nice that your software helps that. So to wrap things up, we thought we'd do a little top 10 list, David Letterman style.
Yeah.
So this is the top 10 ways you know your receptionist needs a break. So Michael, kick it off with number 10.
First off, do people even remember David Letterman?
Oh gosh, I hope so.
I hope so.
Oh no. Did we just change ourselves?
I know, right?
David Letterman, Google him if you don't know. Google some clips of top 10 lists. They're pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Ours is going to be great. I mean, this may shoot to the top of Googling top 10 lists. But anyway.
I think so. Number 10, your receptionist can't say hello to people coming in the door because the phones are ringing off the hook. I mean, we've already gone over that, but yeah.
Number 9, your customers reach around the desk to check themselves in. I mean, that's got to be annoying, right? If you're sitting there and you're like, I'm on the phone, I'm trying. And they're like, listen, I got this. Just give me the computer. I'll check myself in.
I wonder if anybody would be brazen to like reach around the desk and buzz themselves in.
I feel like someone would.
I think so. I wouldn't put it past
Hopefully not at our front desks, but no, I'm sure there are people out there. Probably not listening to this podcast, but I would imagine they're out there.
Right. Your receptionist took a break yesterday and still hasn't come back.
Yeah, so she definitely needs a break. If she's like, I'm so overwhelmed, I need my break, and she just hasn't returned. Oh,
yeah.
Poor receptionist. Number 7, your friendly receptionist suddenly has an edge that's a bit off-putting. And I mean, I get it. You know, even when that's kind of your thing and you're helpful and you're cheery, but you're just overwhelmed, that edge kind of just shows up. It's not
everybody
so great.
Has a breaking point.
Yeah, for sure. We all do.
Some come more quickly than others.
Yeah.
Number 6, the visitors are wandering around with confused expressions. I think we've referenced before on this podcast, the person nearest the door syndrome.
Yes.
Where they just kind of start to wander into the office with a confused look on their face. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And meanwhile, your receptionist might be sitting there, you know, scurrying to, hold on, let me help you. Yeah.
Don't go yet.
Yeah. Hold on. I will help. Okay, number 5, you're amazed with how well your receptionist is juggling many different tasks, but that frenzied look in their eye is a little bit scary. Yeah.
Be careful.
Yeah, they might need a break. We're like, man, they're on fire today. They're really getting through those tasks, but they're just looking so overwhelmed while they do it.
Go have a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Number 4, your customers tell you how nice it was just to be able to arrive and just walk back to their contacts desk. They just avoid the front desk altogether.
I just walked in and I owned the place. I just didn't have to do anything. I showed up. It was fantastic. Number three, no one can seem to tell you who's in the building right now and who doesn't actually work here. You just have people. They're floating around. We don't know who our guests are. We don't know who's arrived and who's left. That's probably not so good if your front desk person doesn't know, or you just don't have anything or anyone there to help you.
Are you here for a meeting or did you just start today?
Did we hire you? I'm sorry. Yeah. What? Oh, you're my meeting? Oh, I'm so sorry about that.
Number two, you're starting to wonder if your receptionist is hangry or just angry.
Oh, that goes back to those breaks. I mean, you know, if your receptionist just has so many tasks that they can't get stuff done.
That they can't eat?
Yeah, and they're like, my sandwich is sitting right here, but I just can't eat it. Your receptionist might need a break. They might need some support. And number one, the number one way that you know that your receptionist needs a break is they started leaving sticky notes and signing all their emails with gottthereceptionist.com. on them. When your receptionist has done their homework and is leaving tips that there might be a better way, you know that they need some support.
Those are some major hints there.
Yeah. When they're dropping the receptionist.com, when they're name dropping the conversations, you know it's time to look into that.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much, Michael. Anything else before we finish up today?
Yeah, I want to underscore, don't take our word for it. I mean, Sarah, you and I obviously are in this and deep in the weeds and may have a little bit of an agenda with this.
Right.
We hope that, if nothing else, that people are taking something away from this to look at the efficiency of their front desk. But don't take our word for it. I would really encourage people to go to G2 Crowd or Capterra and read our customer reviews. Over the last 30 days, the receptionist has a 100 NPS score from our customers, which, by the way, is a perfect score.
That's amazing.
And that changes, that fluctuates, but it typically drops no lower than 80, which is still fantastic and world class.
Yeah.
But go read what our customers are saying. Like, don't just listen to this podcast and take our word for it and hear us joking about the receptionist and all that stuff. Like, go read what actual customers who are using the product say that it helps them do in conjunction with their receptionist or front desk duties. It's reviews. We live in the era of reviews, and it's a fantastic resource for you to do digging on your own and see, okay, how are other people experiencing this?
Right.
So that would be what I would leave folks with, is go check out our reviews, G2 Crowd and Capterra.
Awesome. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, absolutely, Sarah. Take care.
We hope that you got some good insight into happiness, what we've got going on to ensure that our team and our clients are happy, and maybe what you would like to do to increase the satisfaction or measure that satisfaction for your own clients and customers. And if you'd like to check out our 2-week free trial with no credit card required and to see what we do to make our potential customers and then customers happy, check us out at thereceptionist.com.